You've got a dream, something that seems impossible to you. Maybe you have a lot of those impossible dreams. The ones that have less to do with a new toy and more to do with a desperate plea for something waiting to be unleashed. A cure for your mother's cancer, the end of your brother's addiction to drugs, the promotion you need to make ends meet, or the funds you need to start your nonprofit. Maybe you're desperate for your wife to stop nagging or your husband to start listening. Maybe you just want your teenager to acknowledge that you exist. You pray for those dreams, sometimes, but really, you don't expect that God is going to deliver. What if he doesn't come through? But what if God wants us to pray bigger and bolder prayers than we ever thought we could? Desperate prayers that allow him to do the miraculous in a way that only he can. What would happen if we prayed so expectantly that when the impossible does happen, the only way to explain would be because God moved? What would happen if we prayed differently?
Well, good morning, Millersburg. Good morning, Dover, Coshocton, and Canton. I just want to tell you that I am so excited about the stories that I'm hearing coming from all of our campuses. God is doing an incredible, unbelievable work, and I'm thrilled to be a part of it. We're in this series called Circle Makers, and here's what we're doing. We're circling our greatest fears, our biggest dreams, and God's promises to you and me. And we are believing that God will do what only he can do. Now, here's what I want to encourage you. I want to continue to encourage you to journal what God is doing in your life, because I'm hearing back from all of our campuses about God answering prayers already, and you don't want to forget those. So let me encourage you to journal. Let me encourage you to continue to read through that 40-day devotional. That's an incredible, incredible tool to inspire and develop your faith. And then also let me encourage you to continue to pray at 7:14, whether it be in the morning or in the evening, or maybe you're up to doing it at both times. I just want to encourage you to do that. Now today we want to talk about praying hard. And here's the reason why. Because whatever God asks you to do, there's going to be a gap between what you think you can do and what God is calling you to do. And what he's asking you and I to do is to circle that gap, whatever that gap is, and begin to believe that God will do what only God can do. And so today we want to realize that if those things are going to happen in your life and in my life, we're going to have to pray hard. Because there's a difference between praying for something and praying through. And that's what we want to talk about today. You see, God wants to partner with you in such a way that when it happens, it will humble you. And you yourself, first and foremost, as well as your family, as well as your friends, will know that God brought it about. He wants to do that for you and me. And this will cause your faith to grow. You see, prayer is your greatest weapon. Prayer can do anything that God can do. And yet there's times that we have to pray hard. Now, last week we talked about dreaming big. And here's what I want you to understand. Dreams don't work unless you do. Did you get that? Dreams don't work unless you do. And the work that you and I have to do is to pray hard. Let me ask you a question this morning. What does it take for you to give up? You know, it speaks of your character. It speaks of who you are. What does it take for you to give up? Just a little bit of resistance? A little bit of disappointment? A little bit of failure? What does it take for you to give up? Because here's what I want you to understand. For you to see the fruition of any dream that has any size to it, you're going to have to be persistent. You're going to have to pray hard. And for you and I to pray hard, we have to realize that prayer is a habit to be cultivated. It's a discipline to be developed, and it is a skill to be practiced. And I'm not just talking about logging time. I'm not just talking about, quote unquote, doing your devotions and saying your 60 or 90 second prayer. If you really want to hear God's voice, it will take intentional effort on your part and my part. You'll have to cultivate it as a habit. You'll have to develop it as a discipline. You'll have to practice it and develop that skill. And when you do that, what will happen in your life is it'll be like developing a sixth sense. And you know what that sixth sense is? It will give you the ability to see the invisible and to hear the inaudible. That's what it'll do. Do you get that? If you're willing to look at prayer as a habit to be cultivated, a discipline to be developed, a skill to be practiced, it will develop a sixth sense in you, and it'll give you the ability to see the invisible and hear the inaudible. Do you know that when a baby is born, it only has about 1/40 of its eyesight developed, that it lacks depth perception, that it can basically only see about 13 inches? And yet by the time it's 6 months old, it has increased its ability to see 5 times. And it begins to see in black and white. And by the time that little guy, that little girl is 1 year old, that it basically has its full eyesight as adult. Why? Because it takes time to develop. It takes time to grow. And so it is with spiritual vision. That's why prayer is a skill to be practiced. It's a discipline to be developed. It's a habit to be cultivated. And when you and I are willing to do that, what happens? Listen to me. Your spiritual eyesight will begin to get better and better and better and better. And you will see God at work in ways that you never saw him before. And you will begin to see opportunities, God-ordained opportunities that you are called and I am called and that we together are called to see. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, I didn't see that? Because you're lacking sight. You're lacking the ability to see. And we all need to see better. And so for us to see better, we've got to pray. We've got to pray hard. And we have to realize that it's a habit to be cultivated, a discipline to be developed, and a skill to be practiced. It's not just about logging time. And so what does that mean for you and me? It means that praying hard is two-dimensional. And what is praying hard? It means praying as though it all depends on God and that it all depends on me, okay? I pray as though it all depends on God and I work as though it all depends on me. Now, I want to give you, we're going to look at a story this morning about a widow. But I want to give you a story that's just fresh. And it's happening right now. I want you to watch this clip. And you will see how prayer begins to transform a person's life. But it's not haphazard prayer. She's praying hard. Check this out.
I prayed for the 911 calls when I was in need of something. I mean, I knew there was a God and there was a higher power. But I didn't believe that he was there for me. I could hardly function at work anymore. I couldn't eat. My finances were in the drain. I had deleted everything in my life. I made the phone call to New Point to see about getting help financially, and they set me up to see Kay. I met Kay that first night, and she said we were going to start mentoring.
I'll never forget the night Kathy walked in to New Point for mentoring. We prayed before she left. I got home that night, and I usually pray for all the mentees I had, but there was Kathy had kind of gotten us to a soft spot in my heart. So I have been praying for her constantly since we first met.
It just became every Wednesday night I was here at the church, and Kay and me would talk, and I would share what I was going through. And the more I shared with her, the more that I started praying for a change in my life.
You know, when I met Kathy, what she shared with me, the struggle that she was going through, was that she had been addicted to painkillers.
I was trying to get off the drugs and the alcohol again. I was physically, mentally broken. Don has checked on me. He would call and check on me. I called him a couple times. He's been a great influence and power and strength for me.
She was bordering on a state of panic. She didn't know what to do. And the reason that I recognized that fear was because that I myself had been in that same place. And I guess what I realized through prayer was that this was a moment that was the beginning of a very long journey for Kathy also.
I heard about this program to help you get off the pain medications. When I got on this medication, I thought my life was going to be okay. I get up in the morning, take my medication, go all day, I'm good to go. So it had been about a month and a half into my program, and I was still feeling very sick. I woke up in the middle of the night for like the fourth time, as usual, mentally, physically, and spiritually broken. I said, that's it, God, I'm done. I can't do this no more. I just finally reached out and started praying, and I was praying very hard that night for an answer, for what to do. I was tired, I just wanted to give up, and that's when I heard, don't give up.
You know, I know often in my walk that the only thing that got me through the day was to be able to pray, was to be able to have God to talk to be able to have someone that you had a relationship with. I know that Kathy was struggling in that area. I know that she struggles in that area every day. And that's my prayer for Kathy, is that she continues to pray every day, and that those prayers continue to be answered, and that she's faithful to those prayers. The power of that prayer is that we have that, and that we don't forget that we have that prayer.
This is going to be something I'm going to deal with the rest of my life. I can't do it on my own. I don't expect to ever do it on my own. I think that's maybe why in the past it didn't work, because I did try to do it on my own. With Kay and Donna and Don and the people in this church praying for me, I can feel it in my life today. I see it in my life today. Things are being met that I haven't asked for. I know the struggle's not over yet, so I'm going to continue to pray hard. God's gotten me this far through prayer, and I know He's not going to let me down.
Wow, is that not incredible? Let's give it up for Kathy. Would you do that with me? That's just unbelievable. And you know what Kathy would say to you and I? Life is hard. So you better pray hard. And if you're going to see your dreams fulfilled that God has placed in your heart, you're going to have to pray hard. And praying hard is two-dimensional. You know, we've all heard that saying, you know, pray as though it all depends on God and work as though it all depends on me. And that's the two-dimensional. The first one is to pray as though it all depends on God. You pray until God answers or until God speaks. That's what you do. You pray until God speaks, until He answers. Look what it says here in Matthew 17. Jesus is speaking. For truly I say to you, if you have faith that is living, that's an active faith, like a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to yonder place, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible to you. But this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Wow. What is he saying here? He is saying that, you know what, some things you can just believe and pray about and it'll happen. But there's going to be other things in your life that, you know what, you're going to have to really pray hard. You're going to have to put two circles around it. And you're not only going to have to pray, but you're going to have to pray and fast. You see, there's times when you will circle things in your life, and just having faith in God is not enough. You're going to have to pray hard. You're going to have to double circle it with fasting. And Scripture tells us that there are certain times where miracles only come about and only happen in response to prayer and fasting. Now, there's all different kinds of fast. You know, there's the Daniel fast. And the Daniel fast is where you fast for 21 days from everything except for fruit and vegetables. And you say, oh, man, you're kidding me. How desperate are you? See, some of us are more in love with our stomach than we are in our dreams. Hello? See, we want everything to come easy to us, and we're not willing to pay the price. And that's why some of us are lacking. Because you know what? You've been feasting when really you should be fasting. So how bad do you want it? But you don't have to fast from food. You can fast from media. You can fast from technology. Should I go there? Yeah, I'll go there. You could fast from Facebook and say, you know what? I need to hear more from God than I do my friends. I need to know what's on God's mind more than I need to know what's on my friend's mind. And what happens? You can fast and just seek the heart of God. See, fasting, what happens is you're saying no to something so that you can say yes to God. Maybe you're here today and you know what? You're battling an addiction, something like Kathy. And you said, you know what? I've prayed about it, but it just doesn't seem like God wants to do anything about it. How about praying hard about it? How about praying the price and saying, God, I am so desperate for you to move. I'm tired of being controlled by alcohol or prescription drugs or this or that. That, you know what, I am going to fast. Or maybe it's a son or a daughter, or maybe it's a marriage, or maybe it's a relationship. And the fact of the matter is you've prayed, but you've not prayed hard. Truth be known, you haven't prayed the price. You haven't circled it doubly and said, God, I am so desperate for you to move in my finances or in my career or in my life. I'm desperate. Because you see, desperate people will fast. Desperate people will pray the price for their kids. They will say no to certain things because they know the importance of maybe that breakthrough or being broken of that bondage or that addiction. And so praying hard is two-dimensional. It's praying as though it all depends on God. And maybe you need to do that. Maybe it's for a decision that you need to make. But you need to pray hard. You need to do that. And then the second part of this is to work as though it all depends on me. And that is, you're willing to do whatever is necessary. You're willing to do whatever is necessary. You see, listen, the bigger the dream, the harder you're going to have to pray. See, I have to confess to you today. All right, can I make a confession as your pastor? I wouldn't pray nearly as much if I didn't have big dreams. Y'all okay on that one? I wish I was more spiritual. But what happens is I've circled such big dreams that I know that unless God moves, it's bound to fail. And I hope one day I can just pray to him. But right now in my journey with him, I pray a whole lot to him because you know what? I got some big stuff that I'm asking him to move on his behalf for his honor and for his glory. And so the bigger the dreams, guess what? The harder I have to pray. And so I need to pray as though it all depends on God. And I need to work as though it all depends on me. That means I need to be willing to do whatever is necessary. Look at our scripture here. It says, whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. He says, whatever you do, work at it with what? All of your heart. You see, listen, if you want your dream to come, then you need to do everything that you possibly can within your power. That's praying hard. Praying hard is praying as though it all depends on God. You're going to pray until he answers, until he speaks. But then you're going to work as though it all depends on you. And you know what? We have a tendency to lean towards one or the other. As I was praying and talking to God, God brought this back to me. And here's what he said to me, folks, about some of my dreams. He said, Dwight, you're working as though it all depends on you. You got that one down pat. But you're not praying as though it all depends on me. And Dwight, I appreciate your willingness to work hard. That's part of it. You need to participate. But this stuff is not going to happen unless I intervene. And the way that you get me to intervene and move is that you pray hard. And I've been praying about two things. I've been praying about funding, that we will not be hindered in any way, shape, or form in going after 10 by 20. And I've prayed that God would speak to people who have the resources, that they would lay up treasures in heaven and that they would generously give, knowing that the local church is the hope of the world, living and teaching the truth of Jesus Christ. And I have talked to a number of them. And God said, you're meeting with people, but you know what? You need me to move on their heart. And so you're doing the hard work. You're doing the legwork. You just need to do the air work. And you need to pray. And so the other one is staff. You know, I'm thankful for our staff at New Point. We just need more of them. And we've interviewed people and we've talked to people and we've done all the marketing things. And God said, you're working hard, but you're still coming up empty. Why don't you pray harder? And so here's what God told me. You need to go on a fast. And so from Easter to Pentecost, I was fasting 72 hours a week. And I did not want to do it, I must confess to you. I tried to talk God out of it. I like to eat, can you tell? And he says, I want you to go on liquid only for 72 hours a week consistently. And you know what he was saying to me? The same thing he's saying to you right now. How bad do you want it? Are you desperate enough to say no to some things in life so that you can hear from me, so that you'll be able to see the invisible and hear the inaudible? That's praying hard. It's two-dimensional. And I found out for me that I had half of the equation down. I was working hard. As though it all depends on me. I'm giving my heart to it. I just wasn't praying hard. Was I praying? Absolutely, I was praying. But I wasn't praying hard. I wasn't praying the price. And you may be wondering why some stuff isn't moving in your life, and it may be that you're praying, but you're not praying hard. You haven't prayed the price. And if that's going to happen, if your marriage is going to change, if you're going to be free from that addiction, if your son's going to be free from that addiction, if your finances are going to change, if God's going to move, it's not going to be through a prayer, God is good, God is great, let us thank him for our food. It's going to be because you've prayed hard and you're saying, you know what, I'm going to hang on until I get an answer from you. And you know what, I'm even going to double circle this. I am going to fast from some things because I want you to know that I'm desperate and I need to hear from you. And I'm going to do whatever I need to do. You see, sometimes we pray, but we don't do what we need to do. Maybe you need to have that conversation. You're praying for your son, you're praying for your daughter, and the fact of the matter is that's good, but you need to set them down and you need to have a conversation with them. Maybe you need to go and talk to your boss. Maybe you need to give something. It's both. It's praying as though it all depends on God and working as though it all depends on us. And truth be known, we lean towards one of those. And for some of us here, you're praying hard. You know what? You're just not doing all you can with all of your heart because you're afraid. You're afraid of failure. Because what happens is whatever you're praying for, you're part of that answer. And that's where you have to do everything that's dependent upon you. You know what? Listen, I hate asking for money. That's hard for me. But I'll do it. Because I'm a desperate man. And I believe that what God is calling New Point to is of God. I believe it's God initiated, God ordained. And if I'm going to see it happen, then I've got to pray hard. I got to pray as though it all depends on God, and I got to work as though it all depends on me. And whatever you circled, that needs to be your attitude as well. And you know what? We have one which has that attitude. It's the persistent widow. Look with me. It's in Luke chapter 18. And Jesus tells this parable, tells this story about this widow who was persistent. And it gives us an example of how you and I should go after things that we believe that God is calling us to. And I just want to walk us through this passage. You know, first of all, I want us to see the principle to remember. There's a principle to remember. Look what it says here in verse 1. It says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should what? Always pray and not give up. Here's the principle to remember. Always pray. Always pray. God's word says, pray without ceasing. What does that mean? That means that no matter where you're at, whether it's in the car, whether it's on a walk, whether it's before you go into a meeting, whether it's before you lay your head on the pillow, that you're in constant conversation with God. He's there. That you should always be praying. You should always be sharing with God. You should always be open to hear from him. He says you should always pray and what? Not give up. Not give up. Be persistent. And that's praying hard. You know, you see, listen, it's easy for you and I to pray when the answers are abundant and they're just coming immediately. But we have to realize that there will be times in your life and there will be times in my life that, you know what, we will experience resistance. Not from God. We have an enemy. And we have to pray hard. You see, God is not a genie in a bottle. Your wishes are not his command. And we must understand that God has plans and he has purposes and he has perfect timing for every promise that you and I have circled, for every dream that you and I have circled. And there will be times of where God will seem like he is silent. But I assure you, he's not absent. He is at work. There'll be times of where God will say, wait. And it's during those times of where you will think that life is not fair. Listen, I didn't get married till I was 28 years old. All my buddies were getting married, and I was going to their wedding. And I was telling God, not fair. I even tried to manipulate God. You ever done that? I told God I'd never pastor being single. Don't do that, please. You won't win. You just won't win. And so there'll be times of where God will ask you to wait. And it will seem like God isn't concerned and that life doesn't make sense. And if you're not careful, you will become disillusioned with God and with life. And you will stop pursuing. And then if you're not careful, you'll stop seeking God. Because many people stop seeking God when life doesn't seem fair and it doesn't make sense. And God hasn't answered you as quick as you think he should because you think he's some bellhop boy. But here's what Jesus would say to you and me today. You should always pray and never give up. Pray hard. Not just praying for something, but pray through something. And God will show up. So you have to remember this principle. And then there's the example to follow. There's the example to follow of the widow. Look what he says here. I want you to see what it looks like to pray hard and to pray through. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time, he refused. But he finally said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet, check this out, because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. Now you have to understand the culture in which this was told. You know, judges would visit towns and villages, and they would just set up a tent. And they were law, and they would accept bribes. And though 2 Chronicles chapter 19 would say they needed to fear God and they needed to be honest and just, many of them were not. And so they were partial. And they did what they wanted to do, not what God wanted them to do. And so you could pay them off. You could bribe them. And they would pervert justice and they would do unethical things. They were self-serving. And this is the type of judge that Jesus is describing here. And so you have to understand, here you have a woman before an unjust judge. Number one, she was a woman in a culture that did not recognize women. She was a widow, so she had no man to intercede on her behalf. And she had little, if any, rights. And most women, when they were in court, their witness was not valid. They would not take it as a valid witness. And so what is she doing here? She's going after the judge. She's saying, you know what? I'm going to be on him like white on rice. I am going to be persistent. I am going to come after him. And if you want to this afternoon, you can look up Luke chapter 11. There's a contrast here. It's the persistent friend who wants bread. And he goes to his friend and knocks, and his friend's sleeping, and he says, go back to bed. And the persistent friend continues to knock until his friend gets up and gives him the loaves of bread. And then Jesus says this in that chapter. So I say to you, ask and it will be given, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who receives or who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. What is Jesus saying about the persistent widow and the persistent friend in Luke chapter 11? He says that you need to continue to ask. You need to continue to knock. You need to continue to believe. And these are action words. These are action verbs. And that's what he's saying to you and me. And we see here in this story three things about this widow. We first see her attitude. She was not going to take no for an answer. She was not going to take no for an answer. That was her attitude. I know what's right. I know what needs to be done, and I refuse to take no for an answer. Look at her audacity. You know, she just had the audacity to say, you know what, I'm going to be on this judge like white on rice. And she came after him. And you and I would say, how obnoxious. How could she do that? But she did. She came to him at all times of night and day, in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening. And then we see her actions. She was going to do anything and everything, and she was willing to do that. You see, she was praying hard. She was praying as though it all depends on God, but she was working as though it all depended on her. And that's what you and I are called to do. We are called to pray as though it all depends on God, and we are called to work as though it all depends on us. Now, here's what you need to understand. This is a parable, so it's a contrast. God is not like this judge. He is not unjust. He is gracious and generous. We are not like this widow. We are not standing alone with no rights. We are sons and daughters of the living King. And so what Jesus is saying is, if there's a widow who has no one to represent her, and she's going before an unjust God, and because of her, or unjust judge, because of her persistence, this judge will give in to her, how much more will a loving heavenly Father respond to you and me, who is gracious, who is generous, who is kind? And we are his kids. And so we have the example to follow. Let me give you this last one, and that is the promise to stand on. Look what it says here. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen one who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice quickly. Now, the word quickly here means when God is ready to move, it will happen. Now, here's what I want you to understand. You and I don't know when God will move. The question is, though, when he moves, will you be ready? You know, everybody talks about luck. Well, you're lucky. Well, you know what I've heard? Luck is when preparation meets opportunity. Let me put it in the spiritual realm. What people call luck is when prayer meets opportunity. And you are ready because you've been praying to God. You've been praying hard. Your heart's prepared. Your motives are right. You're strong. You're courageous. God is at work. You've been willing to do anything and everything to bring this about. And an opportunity comes, and God moves quickly, and you're ready for it. Circling those dreams, those fears, those promises, I trust that you are, but you got to be praying hard. And prayer is two-dimensional. It's praying as though it all depends on God until he answers, and it's working as though it all depends on me doing whatever he asked me to do. And when you do that, you'll see a breakthrough. Pray with me. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this persistent widow who was up against a judge that was nothing like you, but because of her persistence, because her willingness to do whatever it took, he heard her and acted on her behalf. How much more will you, a loving heavenly Father, who is gracious and generous and kind, act on our behalf when we are willing to pray? So help us to pray the price and to pray hard and to pray as though it all depends on you and yet be willing to participate and to work as though it all depends on us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray and we give thanks. Amen.